back to Up the Villa podcast. That opposition preview for Villa v Chelsea. During the game, feels like I've spoke to you about seven times already this season. Charlie from Blue Brother CFC. I'll tag it in the title and the description. We've just been chatting off air. There's no point asking how he is because he's just seen his side lose 5 at the Emirates. But how you doing? You all right?
Yeah, mate, we've done this a lot this season. I mean, this is the fourth time we've played each other. Yeah, difficult night last night to pull it lightly. But yeah, no, mate, I'm all good other than the football, and yeah, looking forward to getting stuck into things.
Cool. So, how has the season developed then? How's it gone? How are you feeling on the season that's going on at the minute?
I mean, to be honest, mate, it hasn't really developed. in general, you'd have to put it down as pretty much a disastrous campaign. Yes, there have been some positives in it. You know, we did make a Carabao Cup final. We made the semi-finals of the FA Cup. And I know from Chelsea standards, you know, that's perhaps something that was an expectation in the past rather than something to be celebrated. But where we are right now, that has to be looked at as a positive from my point of view. We've competed well in the big games in general this season, but ultimately there's very, very little to feel positive about. A few players have improved. I mean, Cole Palmer is the one shining light this season, along with Malagusto. I mean, in fairness, Conor Gallagher has done a good job as well for large parts of the season. But the fact that we're sort of coming to the end of April and there's still no patterns of play, there's still no identity, that you don't know what Chelsea are. Players don't seem to know what's being asked of them on the football pitch. The manager has seemingly got no idea of how to switch things up tactically in a game when things aren't going right. Questionable substitutions, odd team lineups, odd rotation options, you know, during games. So look, management nowhere near good enough, but I understand that it isn't just a manager problem. You know, takes a large part of the blame, 100%. The players have got to shoulder a lot of the responsibility as well because they're the guys out on the pitch. But ultimately, for me, I think the biggest blame has got to lie with the decision makers at the football club that decided to go down the recruitment route we've gone down and expect us to compete with a squad full of inexperienced under-25s in arguably the most difficult league in the world. So, yeah, all in all, mate, the season's not really developed at all. It's been stop-start. Every time we put a good result together, you think, are we going to push on now? And we don't. But I saw a stat the other day, mate. We've only won back-to-back games in the league twice this season. How mad is that?
Yeah, it's mental, isn't it? But, you know, I've watched you a bit. I wouldn't say I've watched you loads. Like, I watched the semi-final. I've seen you against us. I've seen you against, like, dipping in and out of what you've been doing. And there has been times where I thought, you actually look quite good. Like, the old, like, you know, that Pochettino press. We saw it in the game that we played at Villa Park where you were absolutely, like, brilliant in that press. You know, and we were playing pretty decent at the time as well. And then other times, it's like you're a completely different team. And I just, why is that? Why one week can you look good and then the next it's like poor against Arsenal?
I mean, I don't really know the answer to that. Like sometimes, as you say, mate, I've watched us at times this season and thought, do you know what? There's actually something here and we actually look quite good. And then you watch us other times, particularly last night, and we look like the worst team in the league. Look, understand there's going to be inconsistencies with a young, inexperienced squad that are getting to know each other and, you know, don't have a lot of experience playing at the top level. But ultimately, for me, there shouldn't be the gap that there is between our good performances and our poor ones. You know, when we're good, we do look on our day, we have looked like one of the best teams in the league when we've played in certain games. But then on the other end of the scale, equally in other games, we've looked like we belong in the relegation zone. And I can't put my finger on as to why there is such a big gap between the good performances and the shocking ones. I get it, you're not going to play well all the time, but no other team has got such a big drop-off from their good performances to their bad ones. And when we have our bad ones, we don't do anything right whatsoever. Teams can play badly, but still there's parts of the games where, you know, they've done well and they've had moments. When we play badly, we don't do a single thing well and we have absolutely no moments whatsoever. And I can't put my finger down to it. I think manager has to take some responsibility, but I also think because we've got a massive lack of leadership and seniority on the pitch, there's no characters out there demanding more from the players, having a go at the guys for the level dropping. I mean, in years gone by, when we've had Terrys, Lampards, Ballacks, Drogbas, Cheks and whatnot, if the level was dropping and players weren't pulling their weight, they knew about it. Whereas now, you look round, it's a load of kids in their 20s, in their early 20s that, you know, don't have the experience or the know-how, or even guys that have won, you know, they've been surrounded by experienced players in their previous clubs or national teams or whatever. And for me, I think that's one of the biggest things, is that the lack of know-how, and there's no one there demanding more. No one's taken accountability or responsibility for what's going on the pitch. You know, yes, you want help from a manager on the sideline, but ultimately, as players and professionals, where's your accountability? Where's your desire to want to do better? Where's your, you know, sort of thinking, shit, we're 5-0 down here, guys. We should maybe, you know, try and put a bit of fight, a bit of desire in. But that's coming from no one on the pitch.
Yeah, I think, you know, looking at it from afar, I kind of think there needs a bit of a culture coming through, you know, like back in the day not long ago, when you were like winning the title under Mourinho and Champions League.
Mate, we won the Champions League 3 years ago.
Yeah, you kind of got that sort of like mentality and that culture about you, and a way of, this is what Chelsea do. And I think at the minute, that's what's lacking as well. And I look at that that penalty incident the other day where them two were arguing, and like, I think that tells a bit of a story, to be fair, of like the actual mentality of where the players are, really, that they're focused on themselves rather than the actual team. And I think last night against Arsenal, you know, you can tell that mentality thing, it just weren't there as well. So with the manager then, like, where's the Chelsea fan base? Are they sort of happy for it to, you know, hopefully you bring in more experience, or is the fan base sort of thinking, oh, I'm not having him?
I mean, look, I've got to be honest, mate. I think the vast majority of the fan base are wanting a change of manager. And I can understand that. And it's very hard to make any case for this manager to stay based on the evidence from this season. However, and this is not me defending the manager here, because he's not been good enough, hands down, across the course of the season so far. Having said that, the problems do lie deeper than him. And ultimately for me, unless the sporting directors are replaced, changing the manager, yes, okay, you might get a slightly better coach team, you might get a few better results, but it's not gonna be enough to get us competing for the top four in the current guys that the club's at. So for me, I think regardless of the managerial situation, unless there's a willingness to adapt the recruitment policy in the summer to bring in the experienced players we need and the leadership qualities that we need, then quite frankly for me, it's irrelevant who's in the dugout, because anyone working under these circumstances is going to find it very difficult to get a tune out of these players. I understand that Pochettino tactically has been poor, and under someone else, we might have more of an identity, more patterns of play and whatnot. But fundamentally, with these sporting directors and decision makers and the squad recruitment policy as it is, for me, it makes very little difference who the manager is. Ultimately, if you're gonna get rid of the manager, you get rid of the sporting directors, appoint a best-in-class sporting director, allow them to pick the new manager, and then you go from there. But ultimately, I can't see any of that happening.
Yeah, and is it a worry now that the only sort of experienced head you've got is leaving in Thiago Silva? I mean, that's pretty telling in itself, that he's looking at it thinking, I'm getting out of here. So I imagine that's a big blow as well.
Mate, it's a huge blow. You know, he's been, you know, immense for us. I mean, to perform at the level he has at his age in the Premier League is phenomenal. The fans love him. He loves the club. He's been brilliant for us. Look, we knew it wasn't going to go on forever. Of course, we're like, you know, you know when someone comes in at 36. I was expecting him to be here for one, maybe two seasons tops. The fact we've got four seasons out of him is remarkable, and the amount of games that he's played. The biggest thing for me is that Chelsea didn't even bother discussing a new deal. I wouldn't have had an issue if Silva decides, you know what, I want to leave at the end of the season and I'm going to go and play one more year in Brazil and then I'm going to retire. Fine, he's earned that right to do that. But the fact that as a club that we didn't even bother offering him the option to stay and he didn't get that feeling that the club wanted him to stay, the fact that he turned down chances to leave in January because he wanted to help the team fight, fight to get a good position on the table and help the new young players bed in, speaks volumes about him as a player and a person. And it also speaks volumes about how the club are treating players at the moment. I think Chelsea are treating players very badly right now in terms of when it comes to them leaving and whatnot. And the fact that, you know, the only leadership and experience and seniority we have in the team is going to leave and is more than likely going to be replaced with someone with either a teenager or someone in their early 20s. It doesn't sit well. It really doesn't. So yeah, it's a massive problem, mate. You know, there's very little positive to speak about Chelsea at the moment.
Well, we'll speak about one positive then. Cole Palmer. He's having a fantastic season, and I really rate him. And I have watched him, and his movement's so good, and he's. We talk about the mentality earlier about it not being that great, but he's got sort of like the mentality that you want, that he's the man and he'll finish anything. And I'm surprised that he's performed so well in the team, considering everybody else has performed so badly. So you watch him week in, week out, you know, what have you been impressed with?
I mean, mate, do you know what the biggest thing for me is what you said there, is the fact that he's producing these numbers in a team that is quite frankly shocking. Look, he's obviously getting the plaudits and rightly so, but I don't think he's getting I don't think he's getting as much recognition as he would be if he was doing this in a team challenging for the top four or challenging for the title. The fact he's doing it in a mid-table team, essentially, I think is not getting in the plaudits he deserves. What he's done has been phenomenal. The fact that he's come in from Man City, you know, he's on the fringes there, but he's clearly a good player. He's had obviously an excellent football upbringing there. I don't think any Chelsea fans expected him to have the impact he has. 20 Premier League goals, joint top with Erling Haaland. I think the big thing that strikes me about him, mate, is the kid's confidence. The fact that he just backs himself to do anything. He plays with that freedom. He has said that Pochettino allows him to play that sort of free role in attack, which I think definitely helps him. But his confidence, his touch, his skill, his footballing IQ, the ability to make the right decision at the right time pretty much every time for someone that's just 21 years old is outstanding. And the fact we signed him on deadline day, he didn't have a pre-season with us, and he's come straight into the team and he's instantly made himself the go-to man, speaks volumes about him as a character, as a personality. I think he can just go from strength to strength. But I hate to think where he'd be without him, because already, you know, we're so reliant on him. And if he doesn't play, we look like we're in big trouble. But yeah, mate, he's been a revelation. And I think, you know, unless Arsenal win the league, which hopefully they don't, I think he's a shoo-in for Young Player of the Year. And there's an argument, mate, that if he were to win the Golden Boot, which is a possibility, I still think, you know, Haaland is probably got more, will just about have enough in him to win it. There's an argument that can be made for him being named Player of the Year. I think he's certainly probably the signing of the season. He's just been exceptional. But one thing I would say on him, this is fantastic what he's doing. The big thing for me is, what are we going to see from him next season? Because can you then back up that season? He's got the ability, he's got the talent, but we've seen so many players in the past put together a really good season, but only the very best can follow it up. So I'm going to be fascinated to see what he does next season, and can he produce near to the level he has this year?
Yeah, he's been absolutely fantastic. So just touch on the Chelsea style of play. What are you trying to do, if you can explain it?
I mean, mate, I think evidently what we're doing is we press high, we try and win the ball up high up the pitch and you know, hit teams in transition. I think that's why Conor Gallagher's been so effective this season, because he's got so much energy. You know, that high pressing game suits him down to a T. So I expect that's how we're going to approach the game: high press, high energy, try and win the ball back high up the pitch, and cause problems that way. I mean, look, when we come to you in the FA Cup, we pulled a performance out of nowhere that I don't think anyone was expecting, Chelsea fans or Villa fans. We played really well. if we can, you know, repeat a similar level of performance there, we need to make sure there's not large gaps between the two midfielders. Make sure there's not a large gap between the midfield and the back line. Don't leave too much space in behind. You've got pace with Watkins, Rogers, Diaby, Leon Bailey. You know, a lot of threat there, a lot of firepower, a lot of pace that can cause us a lot of issues. But look, I think if we can run the channels well, get in behind, we can cause problems, as we demonstrated. But in terms of what you can expect from a style of play, there isn't really a style of play. We just press high up the pitch and try and win the ball back and hit teams in transition. But it's very much at the moment, it feels like a bit of just go out on the pitch and hope for the best vibes right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of probably quite raw the day after the Arsenal game, but how do you think the Chelsea players are feeling now? Because you know how they've been a bit inconsistent. Like before this game, you'd been on a bit of a decent run, really. You hadn't lost in about seven games, had you? So how do you think the confidence is? Do you think they'll just be like, oh, don't matter, we can put in another big performance? Or do you think they'll be like hurting now towards the end of the season because you've gone out the FA Cup?
I don't know, mate. I said this after the defeat at Wembley. Like, how much is this hurting these players? Are enough of these players devastated by what's going on? You know, I don't know if you've seen it, but obviously Thiago Silva crying after the FA Cup defeat. And then you've got Nonny Madueke laughing in the background with Jack Grealish. Like, I think that kind of just sums up where we're at the moment, that there's a... For me, it looks like, at least optically from the outside looking in, it feels like not enough of these players care about what's going on. Not enough of these players are hurt about the performances, are hurt about what's been going on this season. And look, I feel it's obviously difficult to judge players' characters without knowing them personally. I can only go from what I've seen at matches and sort of the feeling that I pick up. For me, mate, this doesn't hurt enough of these players what's going on right now. And I don't want to say they're not bothered, because I think that's unfair, but they're certainly, I don't think they're as bothered as previous players would have been in the past. So I think that's an issue in itself. I don't think there's enough desire and enough want to win and enough want to put things right amongst this current group right now. And I think that comes from the top. There's not enough senior players setting the standards.
Yeah. And have they got rid of Bowie now? Like, has he been like, what was that? Has he like been moved to the side or something?
Basically, what's happened there is, so obviously, like, he took a back seat in from the day to day running of the club quite a while ago now. He's obviously been the chairman, he's the chairman right now, but right at the start of the ownership, you know, they made it very clear that sort of every kind of 3-4 years they're going to be rotating the chairman. So in 2027, Bowley will still be involved in the club, but there's going to be a change of chairman, basically. So it's like, when that broke, it's something that, you know, Chelsea fans already knew, because clearly they made it clear at the start that they were going to be rotating the chairman sort of every 3-4 years. So yeah, there's not really much in that. But yeah, Bowley has taken a massive backseat from the day-to-day running of the club.
Yeah, it's interesting. And then finally, like, sort of thoughts on Villa. What have you made? Do you think we'll get top four?
Mate, I think you've been outstanding this season. I think, honestly, you are like, Villa are a joy to watch. What Unai Emery's done is absolutely fantastic. You know, to pick up where you were under Steven Gerrard, a team fighting relegation, to now being, you know, top four contenders. Yes, you've spent money, but it is largely the same squad. So I mean, look at the job that Emery's done. I think he's a top level manager. The fact that he signed the new contract is massive for Villa. Semi-finals of the Conference League. You know, you're going for the top four. I think you're, what, 6 points ahead of Spurs, but I think you've played, what, a game or two games more than them. I think you'll do it. We might help you out along the way, of course, by probably giving you an easy win on Saturday night. But, you know, I've been so impressed. I think there's some outstanding players, you know. Ollie Watkins is exceptional. I think Moussa Diaby and Leon Bailey have been brilliant. And do you know what I'm really impressed with? I think Morgan Rodgers has been outstanding since he came in from Middlesbrough, young kid from the Championship, clear ability. I just think all over the park, everyone knows what they're doing. It's a clear style of play. There's a clear identity, and everyone's pulling in the same direction. Basically, everything that Chelsea isn't right now. So yeah, I've been so impressed with what Villa have done. And do you know what? In the best way possible, it's kind of totally unexpected, and it is nice to see, you know, Villa up there challenging again. Because look, let's mistake about it. Aston Villa are a massive football club, and they definitely deserve what's happening to them right now.
Yeah, mate, you got it pretty spot on, to be fair. So finally then, injury news. I think another shiny light that I've not spoke about is Gusto. I think he's looked really, really good. And I think he's got, you know, another player that's got a bright future. And I think his mentality is quite good, to be fair. But Palmer, illness, is he going to play?
We'll have to wait and see. By all accounts, he tried to play last night, but he was too ill. I don't know what the illness is, but for Saturday, hopefully he'll be recovered by then. I mean, we won't really find out until there's an update release from the club, I'd imagine the day before the game, probably. I wouldn't expect Gusto to be fit. Apparently some sort of a problem in one of the ligaments in his knee. Obviously, Ben Chilwell's still out. And then you've got all the obvious long-term ones, you know, James, Lavia, Nkunku, Fofana, et cetera, et cetera. So I would expect, mate, that bar Palmer returning, providing he's recovered from his illness, is pretty much going to be what you saw at the Emirates that's available.
Cool. Well, it's been great chatting to you about six times this season. and I'm sure we'll chat next season when we're playing each other. So I'll put your title to your channel in the description and stuff as well. So cheers, mate.
No, mate, appreciate it. Always great to catch up. Cheers.